You know, you come across a lot of people in life who have special messages to deliver, and my next guest is one such person: author, university lecturer, scientist, hypnotherapist, TV personality, and author of 5 books. I'm very pleased to introduce my guest this morning, Ursula James. Good morning, Ursula.
Good morning, lovely to meet you.
Yes, and you as well. Ursula, I know that you come from a hypnotherapy background, and your books to date have been about using hypnotherapy to change lives, but your latest book, The Source, is somewhat different to that, isn't it?
It is a bit. For a start, it's an intensely personal book, and secondly, it's about my experience of hearing voices, or specifically a voice, and that was the voice of Mother Shipton, otherwise known as Ursula, and how it kind of threw me into a bit of a spin, really, because I thought I knew how things worked and what was supposed to happen, and kind of realised I'd lost my way somewhat.
It's a bit of a scary subject for a lot of people, isn't it? Just tell us briefly about what the book involves.
Well, the book is about how to create a magical life. And by magical, I mean to your utmost potential. Most of us are very good at, you know, speaking of hypnosis, most of us are very good at giving ourselves suggestions. And there's a lovely quote from Mark Twain who said, "I've known many troubles in my life and most of them never happened." And we're really great at projecting negative into the future and going, "Oh, well, things like that don't happen to me. I'm not that sort of person." And I realized that I was actually doing that a little bit myself. And because I'd had a really odd encounter with Mother Shipton's voice when I was a child and blocked it off because I thought that's something that happens to kids. You know, you don't talk like this when you're an adult. You don't embrace magic or, you know, things you can't see or hear or touch, because I am training to be a biomedical scientist. And if you can't see it, touch it, taste it or quantify it, it doesn't fit into the brief. So yes. I was kind of pursuing this, you know, lab coat world, you know, going towards my PhD, when suddenly I realized that I was incredibly miserable. I didn't like my life. I didn't like what I'd become. You know, I suppose a classic kind of life epiphany, but I didn't know what to do. So I reverted to my childhood knowledge of Mother Shipton, and I invited her back into my life, and it was chaos. Never, you know, it's one of those things, be incredibly careful what you wish for, because it might just happen. I got everything I asked for.
Really?
When I asked for the magic, I got a fantastic husband, a wonderful life. I did a telly series. And that really is a case of be careful what you wish for, because I genuinely hated it. I did not enjoy the experience.
Of getting everything that you wanted, or the TV stuff? Or
specifically of the TV stuff. It kind of became like, oh, I can have what I want. And it became like a shopping list, and I didn't really filter out whether it was going to be good for me or not. And so it really was a massive learning curve about how, when you invite magic into your life, you can't say, "I'll just have a little bit, just have a little bit today, 'cause I can cope with that." You get, you know, you open your arms to the universe and you get the lot. So really it is very important that you're absolutely specific on what you want, because most of us, And I will put my old self in there as well, most of us don't know what we want.
That's true.
We've got a vague idea of things that we feel we ought to have, and things that we don't want. But we don't go, "I want that. I want that and I'm having it." That, especially women, we're kind of afraid to go, "That, you see that? I want that. I'm having that. That's mine."
Well, we're sort of taught from a very young age that boys do that, don't they? Boys do the, "I want to be a top businessman." Girls should just be sort of like, that's not very pleasant for a little girl to be so determined about what she wants.
It's not considered to be a good characteristic.
No.
We do employ it. We make the mistake of trying to do it in a man's way. Whereas I, you know, with the book, I use all the teachings that Mother Shipton gave to me and show you how to use the moon as a way of calculating and calibrating and doing things at the right time, because things have a right time. You know, there is the ebb and flow of the tide. There is the ebb and flow of moods and situations and, you know, things that feel right at the time. So I tie in a lot of the rituals and the rites and also trance work, because I am ultimately a hypnotherapist. I tie that all into phases of the moon and how we can let things go much more easily on, say, a waning moon, and how we can take things on board much more successfully on a moon that's moving towards us. So it's fun. And also the thing is, I stopped being a bit of a pompous ass, because I could be a bit irritating, even to me. And that's the trouble. When we think we know it all, we can get a bit fragile and a bit brittle. Whereas now I'm perfectly happy to say, I don't know. Yeah. I don't feel the need to have all the answers. And I'm genuinely enjoying the journey of, you know, just taking encounters as they come.
It took you quite a long time to write this book, didn't it? 20 years or so?
Well, for 20 years it was waiting to be written.
Right.
But it actually took only around 6 months to put it down onto paper.
Wow.
Because it was already there.
Yeah. Did you, because of, you know, your medical background, the serious side, the hypnotherapy, did you find, was there ever any doubt in your mind that putting this particular story to you know, publication would maybe have an adverse effect?
Oh, great question. It's in the book, actually. I thought that it would ruin me.
Yes.
And therefore, I put out a different book. I cowardly put out a different
really?
Book. Going, oh, well, that'll do. I'll put that one out. Nobody will notice. And the net result was I ended up on my back in hospital for 3 weeks with an undiagnosable back pain that meant I was completely paralysed. And quite simply, Mother Shipton said to me, I will release your back if you write that book.
So what book did you put out? What was the book you put out in its place then?
It was called You Can Be Amazing, Transform Your Life with It.
Yes, I've seen that, yeah. Ah, so that was the book that, you know.
That's the main version. That's the very practical, sensible, what to do, the mechanics, but there's no magic and there's no spirit in it.
Right.
And there's no female in it. And it's interesting because a lot of self-help books sell to women and very rarely do you sell them to men, but this sold incredibly well to men because they responded to the sort of mechanistic, you do this, you get that kind of approach.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. When people hear the word magic, they quite often think black magic, don't they? And it's pretty scary. Have you had any adverse reactions to the subject matter of the book?
I've had one or two interesting reactions from people who are completely ignorant about what magic means.
Of course.
Magic is neither black nor white, in the same way that your words are neither meant to harm or heal, but they will have an effect on that person. So it is all about intent.
Mm-hmm.
Everything I put out with good intent. And I don't mean well-meaning. Well-meaning is a very different thing. Well-meaning can sometimes go a bit cockeye, but putting something out with good intent shows that you are absolutely doing it for the benefit of everyone.
For the right reasons.
If you get benefit from it too, that's wonderful. But true magic, when you do it, you can't actually do it for yourself. You have to do it for other people. But that's when it comes back to you and comes back to you and comes back to you. And that's the glory of it. It's pure unpredictability means that every single day I get something wonderful happening. Like you called me, you contacted me.
Yeah.
This is about putting it out there and having that joy.
Well, it's really interesting because I read an article about you in the Cygnus magazine, and it was funny because the Cygnus magazine actually has quite a lot of other people in it. It's quite a packed magazine, isn't it, with lots of different people mm-hmm. offering their take on life, and that just pulled me in. I was in the gym, I was reading it, and I kept reading it, and when I got to the end of it, I went back to the front and read it again. I thought, what on earth is pulling me to this lady? And obviously it's because the message that you've got resonated with me, and I hoped that it would perhaps help others as well to find something that they...
Part of it is that I'm incredibly practical.
Mm-hmm.
I am from Yorkshire. We're terribly down to earth in Yorkshire. You know, you can't kind of you can't kind of make things up. You know, it's an incredibly practical place. But having said all of that, pure spirituality comes from being utterly practical. It is practical magic. For goodness sake, women hold the world together. But we do it not in an overt way. We do it in a covert way. We all have our own way of making things happen. That's what magic is, making something happen without an obvious route, without it being necessarily exposed. We make things happen in a wonderfully connected way. And I think that's the, one of the things we've kind of lost a little bit as women is our connectivity with each other. We've learnt fear. We've learnt to be afraid of each other and to be envious and critical. And now I can honestly say, I couldn't at one time, but I can now honestly say, if there's somebody I have taught or trained and they've gone on to do some fabulous things, I can be joyful for them. Whereas once upon a time, I would be envious and yes. jealous. And mean about it. But that meanness only ever affected me.
Hurts you. Yeah. Yeah. When you lecture at Oxford University, don't you? And I wanted to know the message that do you lecture on hypnotherapy?
I lecture on clinical hypnosis, the strict clinical and medical application of hypnosis. And if you're wondering how I can live in two worlds, I thought that sooner or later somebody from my scientific world would know what I'm doing in my more esoteric world, but they do not mix because somebody in a scientific world doesn't even have the language for it and therefore they don't see it. Somebody in the esoteric world goes, oh, well, she's a scientist, that's interesting. There's a complete split between the two. You don't get people who mix. Very rarely do you get people who sit in both worlds. So effectively, my scientific community and where I put out scientific papers don't even know that I've written a book, nor would they be terribly interested.
Right.
It's not referenced and it's not, you know, it's not in their world. It's not in their worldview. So I love it. I love the fact that people, you know, everybody creates the world that they live in. And that includes not seeing things that are most obviously there and seeing things that are not there.
Do you think that people, you know, we live in an incredibly commercial world where money has become a lot of people's god, really. Do you think that people are becoming more open to other possibilities in life?
I genuinely think there's been a shift.
Yes.
And I think this year is a very exciting year because we had to kind of hit rock bottom with the commercial world. And I don't think we've quite got there yet. But people are changing the way that they do things. People are becoming more community orientated. They are drawing in. They are recognizing the importance of connections, of family, of communication. And it's, you know, I think it's a wonderful thing to be alive right now. It's not going to be an easy shift for everyone, but there is definitely a sea change that's occurring. And it's lovely to be part of it.
And do you think that's all tied in with the 2012 Mayan prophecies? And
I don't know enough about it to say that, but I will say that there are critical shifts that occur. And, you know, interestingly enough, we are very numerologically orientated. Even this is the esoteric community is very interested in the power of numbers, and we will make that happen. Whether it was there already or not, we will make that happen because we believe that this is a space for it to happen in.
And everything basically comes to an end and new things develop anyway, I would say. So, you know, that maybe the commercial world is the world of money is coming to that natural end. What do you think of that?
I think things are breaking apart.
Yes.
They can no longer stay as they were, and therefore it's very difficult to predict how they are going to be. But I genuinely believe this is a time of women and of connectivity and of being able to declare your spirituality and your love for the earth and for other people without coming across as a complete nut job.
You're right when you said you tell it as it is, the Yorkshire side coming out there. You describe yourself on your website, your own website, as probably a witch.
Yeah.
Is it a term that you had to think very hard about using? Because, I mean, it's full of very negative connotations for some people, isn't it?
Again, the negativity is in the mind of that person. the Wicca and witchcraft and respect of the earth, everything that relates to an eco movement, you will find witches involved in. Everything that relates to care, you will find witches involved in. They don't declare themselves because there is a fear. But the fact remains that it's only been 60 years since you could get into a lot of trouble.
Yes.
calling yourself a witch. And I like to put the term out there, probably, because I don't actually know whether I am or not. But I do magic.
Yes.
And I do believe in the power of the earth and the spirits and the elements and everything. There is more things on heaven and earth than is dreamed of in your philosophy, Horatio. There are things out there that we can't quantify. And that is where science and the esoteric community actually come quite close to being connected. Because in order to be a scientist at the forefront of change, you have to believe something that you can't yet prove.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So I kind of see myself as maybe a little bit of a forerunner in that way.
Yes.
You know, I'm kind of pushing the boundaries a little bit, and I'm just having fun.
Well, that's the main thing. Many of our listeners today, as you know, are in hospital. They're at a very low ebb in their lives. Would your latest book help them to recover in some way? How might it help them? I mean, what messages are there for them?
The message is there is that everything, every moment that you have is precious, and you have a choice over what you do with it. We are responsible for the changes that we can make. We are incredibly able to heal. We may not be able to heal our bodies, but we can heal our minds and we can heal our connections. And I've worked with people very close to death, and there's a story in the book that illustrates my feelings in relation to that. It's a learning curve. Everything we do is a learning, and it's how you react to that learning and how you teach other people as well. People who are ill have the capacity to be the absolutely extraordinary educators of themselves and of the people around them. You know, make it an important time and make something of the life that you have. And that's the only thing that I would say that really matters at the end of the day.
Ursula, it's been absolutely wonderful talking to you. I knew it would be. I had no doubt in my mind it would be. The source is available from all good bookshops. It's also available on Amazon, isn't it?
But it certainly is. It's coming out in 7 countries, and I'm really quite excited about that.
Wow. I'm a bit of a Kindle fanatic myself, and I know it doesn't come out on Kindle till the 31st of March, but I may have to break that and buy myself a copy that's on paperback, because that's already out, isn't it?
It is. And it's so lovely to hear you, and everybody who's listening, get well, be well, and remember, you know, life is terribly precious. Enjoy it.
Thank you, Ursula. Thank you so much.
People,
just want to say one last thing. People can find out a bit more about you. You have a website. Would you like to just tell us what that website is?
I have a website that talks about my books, and that is ursulajames.info. You will also find a free source MP3 that you can listen to, and it's all about healing. You can download it free from that site.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate you coming on today.
It's been lovely. Take care.
Thank you.